means things that cause a person not to give full attention to something else. Distractions are to take our attention away from what is really important. Proverbs 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Five things right here before we get to the next verse. He said, get wisdom. Well, how do we get it? We get it by asking for it. In other words, if I have to go to the store to get milk, I can sit there all day long looking at my cereal without milk and saying, well, I wish I had milk. I have to get the wisdom. Second thing he said is get understanding. Understanding really is the logical and it's the systematic knowledge God gives us to draw a reality, a perception of what reality is. In other words, there's so much we don't understand, but God wants us to have the right perspective, which gives the right reality in a situation. For example, Solomon, these two women came to Solomon, and they both said, well, this is my baby. This is my baby. And the other one says, no, this is my baby. She laid on that baby last night, and that baby was hers, and now she's stolen mine. And Solomon's there, and all the people of the court are watching. They're all looking at Solomon, looking at these two women. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And Solomon, even though he could have made a natural judgment, had the perspective from God that God knew that the heart of a mother would never let her baby die, that she'd rather give it away. See, God put that in his heart through wisdom. So he said, all right, bring me the baby. Bring me a sword. He says, okay, now cut the baby in half. And the mother goes, no, don't do that. Give the baby to her. I want 2021 to be under my feet. And I want to have a wisdom, and how about you, a wisdom that is supernatural. I don't want to say, well, I'll figure this out, or what worked last year or 10 years ago. No, I want something fresh. Then he goes on to say this, forget it not. I don't want to forget some of the wisdom lessons I've learned. How about you? She said, don't decline from the words of wisdom. Don't decline from it. How many know sometimes all of our words are not wise to say? How many know sometimes it's just not the wise thing? Hey, husbands, you know, have you found that out within the first 3 months of being married, some of the things you ought not have said? Well, you remind me of your mother. You should not say stuff like that. Dumb. Just plain dumb stuff. Nip it in the bud. So he said, don't throw those words away of wisdom. Then he said, don't forsake her. Don't forsake her counsel. Does not wisdom cry in the streets? Does not wisdom stand in the marketplace? In other words, wisdom is trying to speak to humanity. Say, listen, this is the way. How about this with the young man that went by the harlot's house? Went by there. Foolish, the Bible says. Because of a lack of wisdom. A lack of wisdom about getting his sexual needs met. What's the wisdom? The wisdom is not to go in with a prostitute. The wisdom is to pray, court somebody, and get your sexual needs met in the marriage covenant. Foolishness is a hastily decision based on carnal knowledge, not on the wisdom of God. Then Solomon says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. Embrace, that speaks of what? Holding close, doesn't it? Embracing speaks of a relationship. I want a relationship in 2021 with wisdom, not with foolishness. I want a relationship with wisdom that I've never had. I want a relationship like, my goodness, I wish 10 years ago that I had this wisdom from God. Might have prevented a few long nights. Might have prevented a few broken hearts. Might have prevented a few relationships that were strained. Wisdom is the principal thing. How many have ever been sent, when you were in school, you were sent to the principal's office? Well, put your hand up. Anybody out there? Oh, look at all the holy people. You know, you've got two people raising. I was sent down there. And it really was wrong because it was the other kid's fault. Anyway, you know, so it's a principal thing. Of course, that doesn't mean it's a different meaning with principal. Principal is a statute. Principal is a rule. We understand that. The other one is a person. How many didn't like their principal? I mean, to be honest with you, we had some mean ones in Bath. And anyway, hallelujah. I want to talk about a man real quickly tonight that was sent to do a job, and he was chosen to do a job, but when he got there, it was full of distractions. How many believe that we are called and sent to do the work of God? But how many believe it's not going to be free from distractions? Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3, I'm going to read this one verse in three different translations. Nehemiah 6 and verse 3. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. I'm doing a great work. Why should I stop? I'm doing an important work and can't go down there. First of all, I said, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. You see, wisdom is higher than earthly knowledge. I'm not coming down to where you guys are at. I'm going to live with wisdom. You might, you know, there's a lot of people that are very intellectual. We all are to a certain capacity, geniuses and everything. But because you're a genius doesn't mean that you have wisdom. Because, see, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and wisdom also is the proper use of knowledge. Why would someone who was a financial genius rip off people of $64 billion and spend the rest of their life in a 6x7 cell? Because, you see, earthly knowledge is deceptive. That doesn't mean that there's not earthly knowledge about gravity, the law of gravity. We understand that. But we're talking about when people make reasonings and judgments not based with being wise. Doing a great work. He said, I'm doing a great work. Why should I stop? Don't stop with wisdom. Don't stop and go back and try to figure it out. How many believe we're living in a day where you wish to God people had more wisdom? How they talk, how they live. I do. I want more. How about this? I'm doing an important work and can't go down there. Down where? Down to carnal reasoning. Paul had a struggle. The thing that I want to do, I don't do. You know, he wasn't free from that. Paul got mad at John Mark and Barnabas. That was not spiritual. Thank God that God put even mistakes people made. That wasn't wisdom to get in a contention with Barnabas, who went with you on your first missionary trip to get offerings to the churches. That wasn't wise. So Paul never claimed to be perfect. But what he did, he learned from that. And later on, he goes, bring John Mark with you. See, God's not up there condemning us. He just wants us to learn our lesson. I don't want to be like the dog returning to its vomit. I don't want to have to go around this at 64 years old. I don't want to have to go around and wonder why everything seems to be falling apart around the whole world. What is happening in all of our nations? Why? But you know, the Bible has answers. The spirit of Antichrist is in our land and it's in our world. Everything is anti-Christ. Well, the wisdom is, if the spirit of Antichrist, which John said is already here, is in the world, then I have got to do even more diligence to make sure my mind is full of wisdom. Distractions when we're building for God. Think about the distractions that came last year with the virus. Think about how church changed, not for the better, because people afraid to come. I understand. Think about the distraction of fear that's come into the land. But what are we going to do? We got to keep building. Nehemiah went there. They laughed at him. They mocked him. I mean, he had walls that were torn down, gates that were burned, stones all over the place. The morale there for those that were believers was not very high. He had to get the timbers from a king. The king gave him, I mean, just so much going on. But one thing he didn't do is quit. Distractions can come to the place where you feel like quitting. What's the use? What's the use? Quitting, let me just say this. Never quit something with great long-term potential because you can't deal with the source of distraction. Never quit something that has a long-term potential because of the distraction right now. Got to keep going. You keep coming. Whether there's 10 on Wednesday night, keep coming. Whether there's 30 out, keep coming. You got to keep coming. How many believe that wisdom says keep going? Why? Because if you exalt her, God promises to come and meet you at the point of wisdom and to honor you, honor your work. Don't ever think whatever you do around the house of God is not recorded. Jesus said it this way. You don't have to be the preacher. Give a cup of cold water. And sometimes we're waiting for this great ministry, but I haven't given the cup of cold water yet. But God says, if you're faithful in little, then I'll make you ruler over much. It's a principle in God. Quitting. Realize that everyone has the feeling of quitting at times. Oh, Mike, it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody has it. David felt like quitting. Elijah felt like quitting. Quitting. Thinking about quitting is one of the main sources from which distraction grows. Now, not everybody is prone to giving up, but there's a lot of people giving up. What's the use? When do we need wisdom? 2021. When we lose our focus. What is our focus? When stuck in a reaction mode, not a response. Reacting. How many ever find yourself sometimes reacting and kind of, am I the only one? After about 5 minutes, I realize all I'm doing is reacting. This isn't wisdom. What I've said wasn't wise. I feel irritated. I'm in a reactatory mode, not one that's going to benefit me or anyone else around me. How about this? When we need wisdom, when feeling busy but unproductive. How many have ever felt busy, but it's like at the end of the day, have I really produced anything? Have I really made a difference? Because it goes back to the general attack of the devil is to make you and I think we are not important to the purpose of God. But we are important to the purpose of God. the importance of my life, it's not based on what the world thinks. Hello? Because one day in the world you're up, and the other day you're not. One day you're in style, and the next day you're not. My importance comes that God Himself chose you and I and assigned us. That's why it's so important to come to these teachings on ministry. We're going to find out what your gift is and different things. The reality is my importance is whether I'm doing the will of God and am I going to finish it. When we need wisdom when we are activities oriented instead of results. I don't want to just do something to do something. How many like results? When I make my jalapeno macaroni and cheese, I want results. I want to see that baby when it's on the table, when it's over at the gym, whenever we do that again. And I walk by, there ain't nothing left. I want results. Now, if I walk by and I just see my wife just taking a little scoop, smiling at me, and no one else does, something went wrong with the recipe. You see, I don't want to just do something to do it. I want results. How many want some results in 2021? My job is not just to be faithful. It's to be faithful and fruitful. A lot of people say, well, I'm just faithful. Well, you can be faithful and not fruitful. You might start out faithful and fruitful, but in order, you might have the faithful down, but in order to be fruitful, you got to read John chapter 15. Because there comes a point where my faithfulness and fruitfulness from 10 years ago ain't producing like it should. So every branch in me in a season has to be pruned again. No, we don't hear no preaching about that today. But if I just think my faithfulness is enough, it's not enough. Faithfulness and fruitfulness. I mean, Jesus gave us parables. The tree, Master, should I cut the tree down? He said, no, dung it. Give it attention. Give it some teaching. Give it some love. Then if it doesn't. So God is after fruit. Wisdom allows me to live and walk in a highway that causes fruitfulness to come. It really does. Only God promotes. He puts one up, puts one down. He is the one that sees that I've submitted to His pruning. That I've not made excuses for my behavior. I've not made excuses for my pride, but I've sought Him with a pure heart. And because of that, God keeps promoting, opening doors. I look from where I've come from, into 13 countries. It's amazing to me. Amazing to me. I still wonder, God, you know, did you get the right person? But I've always let God prune me, and sometimes the pruning just doesn't happen. I have to wrestle with things in me, and then finally, after months, okay, God. It's not always when God puts His finger on something to prune us that we every time just repent. Sometimes God deals with us for years. And then we finally see it. We finally realize, I got to give that up. I got to surrender that. Now, Nehemiah 6, verse 2, then Sanballat in Goshen, here's two people. Listen, flesh and blood can distract you. Sanballat in Goshen sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Don't go to the plain of Ono. Ono, don't go there. Come, hey, come on, let's meet over here. Holy Spirit needs to tell us, don't go there. Don't listen to that. It's not wisdom talking. I mean, I just see on the internet all these people sharing videos and everything, all this is going to change and everything. Ain't happening. We got to have wisdom in this hour. And we can't be presumptuous about what God is going to do or allow to happen. God is in charge, right? I am not going to put myself in a position where I don't use wisdom. And, you know, the more God uses you, you just got to be careful not to speak presumptuously what God is saying. To me, you know, he said that in Deuteronomy. He said, if anyone presumes to speak in my name and it ain't me, it's not a good thing. What do we need to do as the church? We need to get back to the Word. The Word is a more sure word of prophecy. The Word of God is higher than any prophet on the earth. It's higher than any prophecy. It's great to have wonderful prophecies, but the Bible is even more sure than that. We should not be led by prophets or led by prophecy. They're to confirm. New Testament prophets are to encourage, are to instruct, but they are not to tell you who to marry or what to do. Now, I believe that God speaks and God can tell us, but I want to tell you this. When I listen to people, I try to hear the wisdom of God in it. Amen. Sanballat and said, come, let us meet together. But they wanted to distract him. Oh, Lord, help us in 2021 not to be distracted. Let's talk about faith and wisdom. The wisdom of God in and through me must be a fresh wisdom. You know, I've never really seen the correlation between faith and wisdom. Have you faith, James says? And Paul said it. Have you? Show me your faith, or I'll show you my faith by my works. In meekness of wisdom. In other words, how do you know I'm really serving God unless you see my works that are covered with wisdom and a meekness in my spirit that I'm not taking the credit? So we want to boast. Paul said, what, you're boasting you have faith? Well, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. But it's not just my human works. They're wise. One of the greatest things someone can say to you, not, of course, you're a loving person, you love Jesus, but you know what? The wisdom of God is with you. Mm-hmm. Wisdom and faith fly together. The wisdom of God in and through me must be updated and ready for today. We need an updated wisdom. And I think we should pray that more often than we do. Who doesn't need wisdom in this hour? You need wisdom. I need wisdom. This church needs wisdom. The churches in Petersburg need wisdom. How on earth are we going to change the tide of unbelief, sin, hatred, prejudice, racism, whatever? How on earth, God, are we going to turn this thing as the body of Christ? Whether you're a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, if you're preaching, how are we together? What's the wisdom, Lord, for our city? Is it all of us just doing our individual things? Lord, what's the wisdom? God, give the pastors wisdom. Help them. Help them. We need a fresh wisdom. It's not like the days of the tent revival. You put a tent up, thousands would come with Oral Roberts, Jack Cole, A.A. Allen, William Branham. Thousands would come up, be healed. We're not in those days. Okay, Lord, well, what's the wisdom then? It seems like more and more we're inclusive. We go to our separate houses of worship. Well, we understand. That's why God burdened my heart in every church I've pastored to have a rally. We had one in Petersburg for Jesus. We had them in Lawton. We had them in Scranton. Everywhere I go, God, we got to bring the people. We got to bring the leaders together. You see, there's got to be a fresh wisdom. Or 10 years from now, we'll be in the same place, doing the same thing, saying, seeing the same results. Pray for the wisdom of God for you and for the ministry and for our pastors in this area. I love everyone. Wisdom of God in and through me must be updated. Okay, the wisdom of God in and through me must be grace-driven and grace-filled. There's no room in the body of Christ to mistreat people, to assassinate their character, to talk about them, whether you agree, there's no, that's not grace, that's the law. Black and white, red and yellow, in his sight, we love everybody. There's only one race, the human race. Adam and Eve, we've all came from Adam and Eve. Amen. We are to love, we are to forgive, we are to help. Amen. We are to have wisdom in relationships. We have to have wisdom sometimes to step away from relationships. And say, you know what? That thing is distracting me. Because every time I'm with you, you just bring that up. But you're not bringing it up in a loving, graceful spirit. I'm not hanging around you anymore. I can't afford my race to get messed up. Because whether we want to agree or not, we all can be easily distracted. We can miss the purpose of church, miss the purpose of unity. You got to just stand, having to done all. The divine wisdom of God in and through me must be of supernatural origin. When Solomon did that, the people probably went, oh, why? Because of Solomon? No, because it was a divine thing. They knew God had just used that man. How many want God to use you with your wisdom? How many want others to say, you know what? That was God speaking through you to me with wisdom. Not just what I think, but the wisdom, the supernatural wisdom of God we need in 2021. If we ever needed it, we need it now. We need to stay on the highway of wisdom. They say that 12,000 people a year just with car accidents die just from distractions. That's not even the other stuff, that alcohol. I'm talking about distraction. And in 2002, there was 1 million texts sent that whole year. Now, it's surpassing 25 million texts a year. And more. So, I'm glad Virginia put in to law, you shouldn't be holding your phone while you're driving. I don't answer my phone while I'm driving. I don't. Because I get distracted enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many have ever been driving and you know someone was distracted and they almost hit you? Happened to me 2 weeks ago. 95. Person came, I was just doing the speed limit. Little old man driving home. This guy in this truck, he's over here in this lane. You know, he wanted to be speed racer. So he's probably going 75 or 80. I'm doing 60. He comes and cuts right in front of me. Missed me by that much. Another, if I would have sped up without his, if I had sped up to 64, which I never do 60, I don't want no tickets. If I had been doing 65, he would have hit me, and he had one of those big, Mike, what's your truck? Is that the Ford 150? What do you have? F-150? Is that what you got? Oh, you got a Ram. You got a Dodge Ram. Yeah, okay, that's good. He had this thing that looked like a tank, big wheels. I mean, it looked like it would have killed, well, anyway, distracted. Maybe he didn't see me. Well, Pastor, what did you do? Pastor, we know you just went, bless him, Lord. No, I went, eh. He just sped away. Who cares? I wasn't mad. I didn't cuss. Didn't Christian cuss. I didn't go like this. I didn't make faces. But I did want to speed up and next to him look at him. Didn't your mama teach you? But I didn't. Hallelujah. I used wisdom. Amen. Oh, Lord, we need supernatural wisdom, don't we? 2021 will not be free from distractions. It will not be free of challenges. It will not be free of you differing your opinion with someone else. But really, when it comes down to it, is my opinion really, in the light of eternity, worth breaking relationships with people? Is my opinion really worth causing an offense? Or shall we not be distracted? We've got to deal with distractions. But if we all focus on this, God, give me wisdom in this relationship. Give me wisdom what to do with this congregation. We are not just here maintaining inventory. We have a purpose, and you have a plan for us. Stay on the highway of wisdom. Let's do that together. Let's go down this highway together. What does it start with, Pastor? Number one, it starts with you getting alone with God and asking for a fresh wisdom. Well, I don't know. I think I've got enough. No, you don't. You've missed the message. Get the tape. Well, they don't have tapes anymore. No, we all need it. And then corporately, Lord, we got this building. We got upstairs. We got the balcony. We got the rock center. We got a platform back there. What do we do? How do we please you in reaching people you died for? How do we come in such unity and oneness that the power of God moves? When they were in one accord in one place, the Spirit of God moved. Give us wisdom. We don't lose our identities. If you like steak for dinner, I like hamburgers. We don't lose those likes, dislikes, choices. But I'm believing for a wisdom to mature us. Because when I was a child, I thought like a child. Well, I'll just take my toys and go home. Well, that solves nothing. In fact, you can develop a pattern of that where you develop an avoidance personality. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about in the ministry thing. We're going to talk about the different personalities. I'm going to have a personality test for each one. It'll really show you what your personality is. Some people have more of an avoidance personality. Others have a personality that everybody love everything. And we're going to find out, because sometimes we don't even know why we do the things we do, why we have behavior patterns, and we need to understand ourselves a little bit more. God made you a certain way, but with those strengths of personality also comes weaknesses. With a person like myself, I like quiet, I'm kind of shy, I like to be, you know, that's wonderful, but the weakness can be that I can just be too much to myself. Then you have the person that's the life of the party personality, great, but the weakness of that is you can go overboard and get into things with people you shouldn't get in emotionally and stuff, because you're looking to them to fulfill you and say how good you are and how funny you are. And we know one of the persons that made all the, what was his name? It was a comedian, Williams. I broke my heart. And I've read a lot of things about what he said, and I know it was depression and things, but it's what I got out of it was he couldn't be the real him, the real person around anybody. He always had to be funny. An airport, I had to be funny. Everybody's like, oh, be funny. And he couldn't disengage from that to be who he really was. And there are personality disorders. We might be saved, sanctified, but we don't realize we're on a borderline of a personality disorder, because we can't disengage from things from the past. So when we get in front of people, we have a different persona. The problem with that is, after many years, we don't know who we are. So we need wisdom to really look at ourselves. My wife and I are complete opposites. We did the personality test. We're completely opposites. But you know what? We've learned to cover each other's weaknesses, and we've learned to rely on each other's strengths. One of the things that I feel, and I'm going to close, you can put some music on. One of the things we've got to have wisdom for is we have got to get rid of this micromanaging people. God never called you and I to micromanage anybody but ourselves. I'm not called to micromanage my wife. She's not called to micromanage. I'm not called to micromanage people in the church. That's foolish. That's not wisdom. What I am called to do, he that forgiveth, loveth. He that doesn't record wrongs, loveth. If I micromanage, I cannot love that person. Because I can't accept them until you change your behavior or do what I think is right. That's not Jesus. Wisdom to live by in 2021. Above distractions. Those 154 people on that flight never knew. As they're going down the runway, that someone in the cockpit should not have been there, distracted the co-pilot. And all he had to do is move the lever to 15 degrees. And he bypassed it and went to the next checklist. They never knew in 30 seconds their life was over. There are a lot of people, because of lack of wisdom, have allowed distractions, even from other people, to get them off that highway. God has mercy. God loves them. Let's you and I personally and together stay on the highway. Let's start asking God for wisdom. Distractions make you double-minded. A double-minded man will receive nothing. I have wisdom on one side, but then my distraction is greater than my wisdom. And the more I talk about my distraction, the less I talk about words of wisdom. So at the end of the day, I'm just totally distracted. So I've got to have a sleeping aid because the distraction has gone down and stirred up things in my soul that ought not be there. Wisdom says he has given his beloved sweet sleep. We all have this struggle, folks. Ain't nobody in here arrived. Let's not micromanage us, anybody, any longer. If someone seems spiritually not where you're at, we'll encourage them. Don't judge them. Jesus loves them. Maybe the words of wisdom you have can help them. Be a full-grown man, a full-grown woman in Christ. This year, we'll be here and gone. Where will you and I be individually and as a church a year from now? Stay in the highway of wisdom. Start tomorrow morning asking God for a fresh wisdom. Start the next day asking God to give wisdom to the ministry. Next day, God, give wisdom to our congregation so that we have a plan. So when people ask, well, what's happening in your church? Well, I don't know. No. We have a mandate of wisdom. Thank you, Father, tonight for your word. And I pray a spirit of wisdom to come upon the body of Christ, each one of us. We need a fresh wisdom. And I pray that we'll not be distracted. And I pray like Nehemiah, we will not get off that highway. And I pray that you'll give us the grace to finish the work before us. And we thank you that day will come because you promised. Lord, you promised if we did not faint, we would reap. Lord, let us not only be faithful but fruitful. Like Solomon, we really don't know how to come out or go in. We really don't know our left from our right. But we look to you, God of wisdom and power and might. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.